All right, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8 tonight. Luke chapter number 8. Well, I thank you for those of you who picked up the visitation packages and were able to have those and look over those today. Looking forward to see what the Lord is going to do with those. And if you haven't had a chance to pick one of those up, we have those again tonight. I encourage you to do that. Got a text from Wyatt this afternoon. He went out this afternoon, and he did his entire package in 20 minutes. So it doesn't take all that long. I think he had a smaller geographic area, but praise the Lord, they're already getting started on that. And my family and I went out this afternoon, and we went and had some lunch at Wendy's. Wherever we go, we try to keep the Wendy's in business. And so we're doing that today. Wendy's and Taco Bell, we keep both in business. And so anyway, after that, we went out, and we did two different groups of 10, and the first group took us about 35 minutes, and the second group took us about 20 to 25 minutes, and so anyway, we've got those out there. So between the three of us, and I'm not sure if anybody else has done it or not, we've already put out 30 invitations, and so praise the Lord, looking forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do with that. So if you haven't gotten a package, be sure to go ahead and get one. It doesn't take a lot of time, and it's relatively pretty easy. You just go, you drive, you stop, you get out, you're hanging on the door, and then you go and retreat to the air condition, right? You don't even have to turn your car off at each stop, right? And so then you don't even get hot, and it's really not a bad way to do the visitation. Not a whole lot of effort involved there. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about the idea of the laws of the harvest, and I want to kind of pick up where we left off with that theme tonight. And tonight we look at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8, look in verse number 5, and we'll begin reading there. The Bible says, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now I'm so thankful that when the Lord tells us a parable like this, oftentimes he just follows it up and gives us the meaning of it, you know. So we don't have to try to figure out what he's talking about here in verses 5 through 8, because he tells us exactly what he's talking about as we continue on in the passage there in verse number 10. We'll pick it up in verse number 9 where we left off. "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Would you go to the Lord with me in prayer? Father, I thank you so much again for the opportunity to preach your word tonight. I ask that you would fill me with your spirit. Give me the words to say. Father, I ask that you would just, Lord, you would help us to understand the importance of being sowers. Help us to understand the importance of always being out and always sowing seed. Father, help us to drive that point home here this evening. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we know that the seed that is being talked about here is the word of God. That's exactly what the passage here tells us in verse number 11. Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. So when we go back up to verse number 5 and we see that a sower went out to sow his seed, we understand here that this is someone who is going out to sow the seed, which is God's word. Now, I think it is a fair assessment of this text that you could say any time that the word is being preached, that the word is being sown. So therefore, tonight I am sowing seed as I am preaching to you. And we could take this passage and we could say, well, as I am standing here and as I am sowing the seed, that the seed is going to fall on all kinds of different ground. And of course, there's only so many people here in the four walls of these churches. And that might mean that inside this room, there is the wayside. And inside this room, there may be the rocky path. And inside this room, there may be the thorny ground. And also inside this room, there may be the good ground. And I think that that is an accurate way to preach this passage. And I certainly believe that that is there. But I would like to just take an aspect of the Word of God as we consider the passage here today as it pertains to the gospel. Sowing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So therefore, the Christian, you and I, would take the place of the sower as we are the one who is distributing the seed. And then those who are lost would take the representative of the different types of soil that is there and the different types of responses that can be had. And that's the way I want us to look at it here this evening. The Bible says in verse number 5, a sower. A sower. What is a sower? A sower is someone who simply distributes seed. He just casts it out. The picture is oftentimes found. You might have a textbook or something like that. And back in this day, they would have a satchel bag that they would put across their shoulder, and they'd have a pouch, and they would go into the pouch, and they would take the seed, and they would fling the seed. And that's what all of us need to be doing. We need to be flinging out the seed. A sower, someone who distributes seed. A sower is not someone who hoards the seed. A sower is not someone who gathers in the seed. A sower is not simply just an observer of the seed. A sower is not even a consumer of the seed. A sower is a distributor of the seed. You know, a bag of seed, if it's left sitting, doesn't have a whole lot of effectiveness, is it? It needs someone to sow the seed. And so it is with the Word of God. The Word of God needs someone to sow it. And we are called here in this passage to be sowers of the seed. The Bible says in verse number 5, a sower, which is a distributor of the seed. And then the next two words, would you say it with me? A sower went out. This sounds familiar to us, does it not? It sounds like the Great Commission. Sounds like we should be going. A sower went out. You know, a sower isn't worth a whole lot if he never gets out of his own house, is he? He wouldn't be very effective at sowing the seed if he never took the trouble to go out. You know, if you owned a field and you hired a sower to sow your field, and then you found that he never left your house, I think you'd fire him, wouldn't you? You'd say, hey, look, get out of here, buddy. I'm gonna hire somebody else that's gonna do the job that I've asked him to do, you know? What would you think of a fisherman who never went to the lake? Now, Brother Jack is not that kind of fisherman. He goes to the lake. And I have seen the evidence of him being at the lake. He brought up the other day this massive largemouth bass, the biggest one I've ever seen in my life. It was huge. Landon was there with him. Landon was trying to hold it. He used both hands and put both hands down there in that bass's mouth. And Landon's standing here like this, and we're saying, lift up the bass. And he's saying, I can't. It was too heavy for him to lift up. This fish was huge, you know? But I know that Jack's a fisherman because he goes to the lake, and I've seen the evidence of his fishing. What would you think of a hunter who never went hunting? That wouldn't be much of a hunter, would it? And it wouldn't be much of a fisherman if he never made it out to the lake or to the river or wherever it was that he was supposed to be going fishing. What would you think of a swimmer who never went to the pool? Well, he wouldn't even be much of a swimmer, would he? What would you think of a sower who never went out? You know, it's impossible to be a good sower unless you go out. The Bible says here in verse number 5, a sower went out. Now, what are the next two words? It says a sower to sow. To sow. There was a purpose that the sower went out. He had a mission. He had an intent. He had a goal. There was a certain thing that he went out to do, and he went out specifically to sow. Now, I got to thinking about this. We have a lot of purposes for going out, don't we? I mean, we go out to be entertained. We go out for sustenance, for food. We have to have food somewhere. I mean, you got to eat, right? So you have to go to Hardee's or wherever it may be. Whatever company's got a good slogan like you got to eat. I always thought that was a worse slogan. You got to eat. Not our food is good. Nothing like that. Just you got to eat, so come to Hardee's, you know. But we go out for lots of reasons, for entertainment, for sustenance. We go out for the necessities of life, don't we? We go to work. We go to the doctor's offices. We go to wherever it is that we may need to go because of necessity. We go out to enjoy nature. Some of us do. If you're not much of a nature lover, maybe you stay inside, you know. But you go out to enjoy nature. You go out for exercise. I have a tip. My brother-in-law, he goes out and runs, and he's run half marathons and all these crazy things, and this is why he goes out. He enjoys it. I don't go out to run anymore. I made the mistake of running cross country 1 year when I was in high school, and I did enough running in really the first week of practice to last anybody for a lifetime. And so I figure, you know, I don't need to go out to run anymore. But some people go out for exercise. People go out because it's a nice day and you want fresh air. People go out because they're going to church, and they go to church so that they can receive the seed that is being sown. You know, most Christians recognize that we are to be sharing the gospel. This is not a mystery. But most Christians do not share the gospel. They intend to. They want to. But in reality, they just don't share it. I'm not asking you to respond to this, but when is the last time you shared the gospel with someone? When's the last time you went through and talked with somebody about the fact that they were a sinner and that they deserved to spend an eternity in hell because of their sin and that they couldn't be good enough to get themselves to heaven and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and you were able to explain to them that all they have to do is believe and trust in what Jesus has done, his work is finished, and that they can be forgiven of their sins, they can be washed as white as snow? When's the last time you went through that with somebody? I have a question. What happens to physical seed? We can talk about corn seeds or tomato seeds or whatever seeds you want to think about. What happens to physical seed that is not sown into the ground? Anybody have an idea? Landon, what do you think? Let's say you got some tomato seeds, right? And they're sitting in a bag, and you want to plant them, right? And you've got a garden spot out there that you're ready to plant them, but you never get the seed out of the bags, out into the fields, and into the ground. What happens to those seeds that never get planted? They don't grow. You know what happens to those seeds, Landon? Nothing happens to those seeds. They just stay sitting there on the counter in the bag, right? What happens to physical seed when it's not planted? Nothing. Listen, in our text, the hard ground is the ground that the seed is sown on, and then the devil comes and takes away the seed that is sown so that someone cannot believe. I would suggest to you that seed is better to be sown on the hard ground than it is to be left at home on the kitchen counter. What does physical seed need in order to germinate, in order to spring forth into life? It needs soil, and It needs light and water. But on our text here, we'll just narrow in on the soil aspect of things. What does a physical seed need? It needs dirt in order to have a chance to grow. Question, we're talking about the gospel tonight. What happens to the gospel when it is not sown? What happened to physical seed when it was not sown? Nothing. Nothing happens. What happens to the gospel when it is not sown? Nothing. Nothing happens. What does the gospel need to germinate? What does the gospel need to spring forth into life? What does the gospel need in order to regenerate? It needs a soul. In our text here, we have a sower. We have a sower that went out. We have a sower who went out specifically for the purpose of sowing. And he went out to sow the seed of the Word of God. There are some people who, they shy away from the thought of church-organized visitation programs or things like this. But, you know, I find that right here in this passage. Here's a person who is sowing the seed, and he is going out at a specific time for the purpose of sowing. He's not going to do anything else. He's just going out to sow. And you and I can do the same thing. You could set aside some time, Brother Wayne, to go out specifically to sow. Not to do anything else, but just to sow the seed of the gospel. And if you went together with a couple of other people at a church at the same time, we could call it a church visitation program. But what is that? A couple of people who are getting together and they're going out into the fields for a specific purpose, and that purpose is to sow. You'd be doing exactly what was taking place here in Luke chapter 8 in verse number 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. Now, when a sower goes out to sow the seed of the Word of God, what happens? Well, I'm so glad that you asked. As you know, this is what the bulk of the parable is about. When a farmer goes out to sow, we mentioned this briefly this morning in Sunday school, when he is sowing physical seed, the farmer can work to till the ground and prepare the ground on which he is to sow that seed. A farmer, when he's sowing physical seed, can actually target the location specifically in the good ground. With all the scientific methods today and everything that's out there, I think we were talking the other day, and you were telling me that they plant seeds now by satellites and GPS and all these things, and the tractors kind of drive themselves. And I mean, it's amazing. We've gotten very scientific, and we can target only on the good ground that's been prepared, the physical seed, so that we can get the germination, so that we can get the crops that we want to be able to have. But as a Christian, when you're sowing spiritual seed, when you're sowing the seed of the Word of God, when we're specifically talking about sowing the gospel, you cannot tell where the seed is going to fall. You cannot tell if the seed is going to fall on the hard ground, on the thorny ground, on the shallow ground, or on the good ground. You, as a sower, you have no idea. You know, God makes it very clear that when you are a sower, you're not responsible for the results of the sowing. You are responsible for just the sowing, just the distribution. It is the responsibility of those who are receiving or not receiving the word to receive the word. So it's our responsibility then to sow, not to produce a harvest, but to sow. It's just required that we be faithful in sowing. So there's four different scenarios that are mentioned in our text. In verse number 5, it says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And then down in verse number 12, the Bible says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag here. I believe that in this passage, this is the only person who does not trust the Lord as their Savior. The Bible very clearly says here in verse number 12 that they do not understand and they do not believe and they are not saved. There is no life that is sprung up. The seed is taken away. We were out this afternoon and we were just going up and putting the hangers on the doorknobs. And one of the doors that we went to, I think, Riley, you were with me, right? I think Riley was, maybe it was Ainsley, I'm not sure which child was with me, but we were just going up together and putting the door hangers on there. Had two big glass panes, and a lady was sitting inside, and I saw her, and she saw me. And so she came out and answered the door. And so I got a chance to talk to a lady this afternoon. And in our brief conversation, I could tell you that she was the Wayside. The Wayside is here in Graham. People who are not interested, people who don't really want an invitation to come to church, people who are not going to come, people who are not going to receive the word that is given, people who are not interested in who Jesus is, people are not interested in you telling them about their sin, people who are not interested about hearing about how to go to heaven. Do you realize those people living amongst us? There's a lot of Wayside. I was talking to somebody a little earlier. We were down in Miami the end of last year, and we were doing a bunch of visitation down in Miami, and we'd go out, and we'd just knock on doors, and we'd try to talk to people about the Lord. And it was shocking to me, Pastor. About 99% of the people who were living in this area are very hard ground. They are the Wayside. I learned that if you move to Miami Beach, you don't move to Miami Beach to find God. You move there for many other reasons, but you don't move there to find God. Was it a waste of our time to go out and to share the gospel with those people and to explain to them that Jesus loves them and to try to get literature in their hands and try to preach to them the love of Jesus? No, it wasn't a waste of our time. I was sowing the seed. And I was faithfully sowing the seed, and it's not my responsibility to see that they receive it, but boy, I sure wish they would have. But some people won't. Some people will not receive the word. Some people just don't want anything to do with it. Some people have already made their decision up. Their hearts have been hardened. Their consciences are calloused. They have made their decision. And I ran into one of them today. When you go out as a sower, you should anticipate finding all of these types of soil. I don't think that it means that just because there's four that it's 25% and 25%, 25%, 25%. I think there's different breakdowns in different areas, and who knows why those factors are the way that they are. But sometimes when you sow the seed, it's going to fall on the wayside. Sometimes it falls on the rocks. Look in verse number 6. The Bible says, in verse number 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, verse number 6, some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Look down at verse number 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Up in verse number 6, I love these words. It says, and as soon as it was sprung up. Would you say those two words with me? Sprung up. You know what that is? That's germination. That is life. That is wonderful. That is why you go out to sow the seed. Because when seed is sown and it falls on the ground, some of it springs up and it has life. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you can get a little bit excited about that. Some of the people will get saved. They're going to hear the good news of the gospel, and they're going to rejoice, and they're going to receive the word with joy, and they're going to be happy, and they're going to be thrilled, and they're going to be excited about what God has done in their life, and they're going to think this is the greatest thing ever. And it is the greatest thing ever, isn't it? Now, Let me ask you a question then. In our society that has a vast amount of Bible knowledge, no, we do not. Most people don't know anything about the Bible. My mom was doing an event, and I would not necessarily condone this. Maybe y'all do this. I don't know. But they were doing a trunk or treat, all right? And they had set up in their parking lot at the church all their cars, and they had decorated them, and they were giving out candy and whatever. That's what they were doing. And my mom had set up her trunk as Noah's Ark, which everyone should know the story of Noah's Ark. Well, all these kids came, and my mom had a bunch of kids gathered around, and some of the kids started asking questions. So she began to tell them the story, the biblical story of Noah and the Ark. And before long, as she tells the story, there was a semicircle of kids that had developed and were sitting and were listening intently to the story of Noah's Ark. And then my mom said she was focused on these kids, and then she realized that there were a whole bunch of parents standing behind the kids, and they were all looking on as if they had never heard the story before. We live in a biblically illiterate society. It breaks my heart to say it, but it is the truth. Most people don't know anything about the Bible. This is what we're talking about here. They have no depth of understanding. The ground is shallow. They don't really know what the Bible has to say. So when they get saved and the Bible says that trials and temptations spring up, what happens to them? They are easily offended and they fall away. Does that mean that they lose their salvation? Well, no. We went over this. How long does eternal life last? It's eternal, is it not? But some will be easily offended, and they will not like the things that they hear in church, and they will not want to stay in a place that preaches the Bible like this one. You say, well, this is not very uplifting. I'm not trying to be uplifting. I'm trying to be truthful with you. If you're going to be a sower, you should expect that some of the seed will fall by the wayside. Some will not be interested at all. You should expect that some of the people who get saved, they're not going to know anything about the Bible, and they're going to be easily offended. They're going to come to church for a little while, and then they're going to get their feelings hurt, and they're going to head out of here, and they're going to never return. You should anticipate that happening. You know what you can do, though? You can seek to change the ground. You know, that ground needs to be tilled, doesn't it? There needs to be some depth added to that ground, so that the offense, those trials and the tribulations, they understand how to deal with them. What's the best way to do that? By starting discipleship with that person? By teaching them the Bible? By trying to get them to come to church as often as possible? Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Doing everything that you can to mentor them along? You say, whew, that sounds like a lot of work. You're right. It is a lot of work. It's a lot of work to be a sower. It's a lot of work to help the seed that is sown, that germinates, to grow. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of time that is involved. But I think it's worth it. I don't know about you. But I'm so glad that someone sowed the seed to me. And I'm so glad that someone's been patient with me for the last 34 years since I got saved and have put up with me when I wasn't paying them any attention and all the things. And they kept caring for me and kept loving me and kept praying for me, and I'm very thankful for those that have invested in me, and we need to be willing to invest in others. So some seed will fall upon the rocks. They'll get saved, and they're going to be easily offended, and they're going to leave. And we need to do everything that we can to help loosen that ground and give them a depth of understanding so that they can be able to handle the trials and tribulations that come up in this life. Some, we should anticipate, will fall upon the thorns. Let's look in verse number 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Look down at verse number 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, in verse number 7, the Bible says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns, can you say it? Sprang up with it. Guess what there is here? There's life. You're all looking at me and you're not very excited. I'm excited because there's life. Here's another person who heard the word of God and they received it, and there's germination and there's growth, and this person gets saved. But look at what happens to this person, and you know people like this. Look at it down in verse 14. Here's a person who is saved. When they have heard, they go forth, but guess what? They are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody specifically, but can I just make a blanket statement here? I believe our churches are filled with people who are being choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world, and as a result, they are bringing no fruit to perfection. In many cases, this is us. It's not that they're not saved. It's not that it dies, the plant. It never even says it dies. It says it's choked out so that it never brings forth any fruit. So we should expect that when we are sowers of the seed, that some of the seed that we will sow, people are going to be choked out by the cares of this world. You know, this happens. You are doing whatever it is you may be doing, and you share the gospel with somebody, and they get saved, and then you're trying to get them into the church, but they're not as interested in going to church because they've got a boat and they've got to go to the lake on Sunday because they've already made those plans. And then you talk to them again and there's something else that's come up and they've got to go do this. And then the next time you talk to them, oh, I can't go because I've got to work on that day, and they're making money. And what's happening? They're being choked out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world. There are people that should probably be here tonight who are not here tonight. Why? Because they're being choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this world. And I'm sure there are other valid reasons for not being here tonight, but certainly that is the case for some. We should anticipate, as we sow the seed, that some will fall on the wayside. Some will fall upon the rocks. Some will fall upon the thorns. But some will fall on the good ground. Would you look in verse number 8? And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. This is why you're sowing the seed. This is what you're looking for, I should say, when you're sowing the seed. Look down at verse number 15. The Bible says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit. What's the next two words? With patience. You know, there's even a time element involved here for someone, for the good ground, in order to receive the word and have time to grow and to learn and to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord before they begin to bring forth their own fruit also. I wish that every person who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior would be the good ground. Boy, wouldn't that be great? But on the authority of God's word, I'm just trying to be honest with you. That's not what you will find when you are sowing the word of God. You will find that some people are thorny ground. But as much as our heart will break for them, as much as our heart will yearn for them, as much as we will try to work with them to help them get the depth or to take those thorns out of their life, it's their choice ultimately on what they decide to do with their salvation, is it not? But praise the Lord, they received the word and they got saved. And then the good ground. Wouldn't it be great this week to share the gospel with somebody, to see them get saved, to see them want to come to church, to see them want to grow, to see them just soaking up everything out of the word of God? Wouldn't that be fantastic? It can happen. But the only way it's going to happen is if we are sowers, and if we go out, and if we are faithful to sow the word of God. Be faithful to sow. Anticipate the various effects of soul winning, and just keep on sowing. Some of you may say, well, that was an interesting message. And I would probably have to agree with you. But it's just the truth. Brother Jack, what would happen? You had your tackle box, and you had your fishing pole, and you had your bait on the fishing pole, and then you sat there and you looked at the lake and just looked. How many fish are you going to catch? You're not going to catch any because we didn't ever put the bait in the water. You got to put the bait in the water. The bait's the gospel. What's going to happen if we know that we need to be sharing the gospel? What's going to happen if we see those who need to be saved, who live all around us? What's going to happen if we know what we need to say and just never say it? Nothing. Nothing will happen. The Bible says in verse 5, a sower went out to sow. Be sowers of the word. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done for us tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word. I know, Lord, that this has been a tough message. I know that it has been direct. I understand that it has been pointed. But Lord, help us to be sowers of the seed. Thank you for this parable. Thank you for the meaning of this parable. And Lord, help us to put it into practice. Father, we love you. Thank you for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Dismissed. You are dismissed.